much to Jake's chagrin, we're not picking up Matthew this morning. We have yet another topical message. I think we'll pick up Matthew this coming Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. But really felt led to share kind of a church vision for this year. You know, last week we looked at, before the new year started, we looked at where are we and where are we going for personally? What are we going to be? 2025 is going to be
lit.
Thank you, Jacob. It's going to be lit, but what are we going to be lit for? And with that, hopefully we want real life to be filled by God's Spirit. And ultimately, you know, this year, may we just know Jesus better. At the end of the year, at the end of the day, that's all I care about is if we know Jesus better. And that's all that Jesus cares about. That's all the reason why he lets things be in our lives and everything else is because he wants us to know him better. And sometimes we have to know him through suffering. But I tell you that getting to know him through suffering, just like with a real friend, you know who your real friends are when you suffer, you get to know him a little better, a little deeper. But as believers, you and I, if we believe in Jesus, are part of Jesus' body. And Jesus' body is the church. And guess what? Apart from what many might say today, you can't be healthy apart from the body of Jesus. If I lost a finger, I hope I don't lose a finger, but if I lost a finger without sitting in the snow, that finger could not be healthy. That finger would die. Yes, it's a part of me. Yes, it's my finger I love dearly. I love you, fingers. Don't go anywhere. But it would die. I mean, maybe in the cold, it would freeze a little bit. They could reattach it. You know, if you're that finger has been out in the snow, God can reattach you. I don't know where I'm going with this one, guys. Just roll with it.
We're rolling.
You get it reattached and the blood flow goes back and you're healthy again. The rest of the body, right? I don't know if I'd want to be the finger attached to this body. Wouldn't you want to be attached to the body of the world's strongest man or the world's richest man? But no, this is the body that you're attached to. So God's got you there. So be a part of the body, the church, because you can't be healthy from it. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says this. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much as more you see the day approaching. That the body is meant to stir up each other by serving each other, by caring for each other, by good works. That we encourage each other to do good works. Why? By blessing each other in them. But that day is Jesus' return. And as we see it approaching, we need to do so more and more. Again, I don't know that there's anything special about a new year, right? It's just another day on some arbitrary calendar that some guy made up and the world decided to go with, right? But again, I think it's a good time to share the church quote-unquote vision, the 2025 vision, right? I wish I had 2020 vision. I wanted to be in the Air Force as a kid and fly planes, and then I realized that I didn't have good enough vision to be a fighter pilot, so I didn't want to. And I also thought that the guys in the Air Force ran, and I didn't want to run. Little did I know, it's like the Army and the Marines who do most of the running. But this year, in 2025, whatever it plays out, we're Jesus' sheep. At the end of the day, you and I both, and CC2, are Jesus' sheep. And guess what? If we're his sheep, he is the shepherd. And we are all under him as our shepherd. But as pastor here, it's my duty to lead us and guide us. Where? After him. That's my whole job. If it's not a job. I hate how the modern church makes the pastorate a job just to be applied for. And you go there for a couple of years and then you go somewhere else. I get it in some sense, but if the Lord's leading you. But Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Wow. Paul's saying, copy me. Remember a kid who'd be like, stop copying me. The kids do, you know, we do that. We copy what they say. That's what Paul wants us to do. Imitate him. Be like Paul. Paul says, as I imitate Christ. That Paul's goal in life was to do things like Jesus did, to be like Jesus, to copy Jesus. And that's what we need to do. And that's what I aim to do. And as poor of a copy as I am, I probably got streaks all over my copy paper. But as 2025 happens, I like to think about GPS. I love knowing the next step. But me, I need to know what the step is after that. Yeah, I got to make a left turn, but is there a right turn immediately after that? And as 2025 comes, I think the Lord wants us to be on the same page together, right? And part of that is through sharing that with you guys. And one more verse before we get into the meat of the study is Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34 says this. This is the covenant, God says, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. That God wants to be in our hearts. God wants to be in our minds. God wants us to know him. And during this season of life now, we need to remind each other, hey, brother, hey, sister, know the Lord. Hey, brother, hey, sister, this is what the Bible says. Hey, brother, hey, sister, this is what the Lord says. Hey, brother, hey, sister, do you know Jesus? But in heaven, we're not going to need that anymore. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, these remain. But there's no need for the gift of teaching in heaven. I have no job in heaven like this. I just get to be there, and I don't know what God has for me there, but it's going to be good. But there's no need to teach anymore. You guys are going to know Jesus just as much as any scholar of history, just as much as Paul. We're all going to know the Lord. But until then, we have church, and we should be the church. And let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you've called each of us and made each of us a part of the body, like Paul talks in Corinthians about the members of the body. Each of us are members and members of one another. That we're somebody's a hand, someone's a mouth, someone's a foot, but it all works together, and one is not better than the other. But together, they can go and move and do great things, God, by your Spirit. So, God, would you do that through us and in us this year by your Spirit? But, God, we just want to be wherever you are. So lead us and guide us and take us to all those great places. In Jesus' name. Amen. So before we talk about maybe the vision of the church, you know, I even use that lightly. I don't know how much vision casting is really going on this morning. But what is the church? We have to know what the church is before the church can go anywhere. I mean, you don't necessarily know how everything works in a car to drive it, but it's a good idea to know that the steering wheel does this, the gear selector does this, the seat moves this way, you need the mirrors, right? We need to have a little bit of that this morning. So what is the church? Well, we said it already. The church is the body of Jesus, and that body is you and it's me as believers. Jesus physically went away, but he sent his Spirit to inhabit us and make us walk around as a body together, right? Fortunately, our body limps a little bit too much, I think, as believers, but we're members of his body. And 1 Corinthians 12 through 27 talks a lot about that. We see in Revelation that the church is seven lampstands, that Jesus would even say, we are the light of the world, that as individuals, we are lights. But just like you put a bunch of light together, it gets brighter. As the church, we're the light of the world as well, too. The seven lampstands were seven local churches in the days of the apostles, and Jesus writes a letter to them, good things and bad things. There are also seven church ages throughout history. Some of these are related to denominations, right? But I believe there are also seven spiritual conditions of a church, no matter what time period or what place, that the church in Revelation can really kind of reveal what spiritually our church is like. And if you remember, the church is not a building. That's a good thing. There's no stained glass here. It would be real pretty. There's no steeple outside. That would be real nice. There's a couple of A-frame sandwich signs I had printed up, so that's about as close as you can to calling it a church building. But this is not a church building. It's a great space. It's a wonderful space. I'm thankful about how open this place has been to having us meet here, especially meet for free. That's awesome. So let's not take that for granted. But we're not a building. This is not the church. We're the church. You are the church. I am the church. Together, we are the church. Because if a church is just a building, it's dead. It's empty. It's cold. If anyone's cold, we can put the heat up. You guys cold? Okay. I turned it on before. We had the doors open. So I got a little cold. If I'm getting cold, someone else must be cold. But we don't want to be a dead building. How many buildings can we even pass in town and say, oh, look at the beautiful architecture? It's dead. People might even go into that beautiful building. Or even if it's not a beautiful building, it's just another place, but it's still dead. And how is it dead? Because it doesn't have the Spirit of God in it. What makes us alive as the body of Christ is not us, not our ability, not our talent, not our money, not anything that we do, not even the coffee, but God's Spirit. And so as a church, we need to be full of God's Spirit if we want to be alive. And I don't know about you, but I want to be alive. If I'm living, I want to live. If we're going to do something, we're going to do it right. Like on the ATV yesterday, I'm going to floor it when I got Mia and Jake on it because they can handle it. I can't handle it apparently. But I want to live. I want to do more things about being alive while we have it. Because we don't know how much longer we have. You know, Ephesians 2:4-9 says this. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together, my emphasis, with Christ. He says, by grace you have been saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That, like the book, the Jesus Style talks about the motley crew of disciples that Jesus picked. You and I wouldn't have picked them if we were to pick people to run a campaign. And yet God has chosen us where? To sit together, to be raised up alive together in the heavenly places. That God has a seat for you in heaven. That's awesome. Well, as the church, there's really a fivefold mission. It's for us individually as well as also corporately as the church. And I don't give them in any particular order, but I think this one definitely should be first. It's prayer. And prayer for everything, anything, and all things to the Father through Jesus. Number two is fellowship. And this isn't just friendship, and we've talked about fellowship before. It's not just companionship, but it's being brought together by the blood of Jesus, that we have something deeply in common because you and I, as Christians, know what it's like to be forgiven by Jesus. We know what it's like to have a relationship with the same Father. Some people confuse Mario and I as brothers, and today I would definitely take that far. I think I need a little bit more of a tan. I don't know. I feel bad for him because you don't want to look like this guy, but flannel's my thing, Mario. You're going to have to find something new. Otherwise, they're going to think we're in a cult. Hand out flannel shirts at the door. That's our denomination.
Okay, did you plan it?
No, we didn't.
Okay. His hair is curlier.
It is. He's got fuller hair. I'm going bald. But sincerely, thanks for noticing that, Norma. I appreciate it. It's good. Where was I? But sincerely, we have that fellowship. We are brothers and sisters together, unlike the people who go down to watch the Grizz game, right? Or go down to see the Bighorns play. I'd love to do that. But it's not the same. Even your best friend outside the Lord, it's not the same as fellowship that we have with one another. A little bit of fellowship you and I have is better than the best friendship in the world. Because you can't manufacture it. Number three, if I'm still counting right, is Bible study, right? We have prayer, we have fellowship, we have Bible study and application that we are taught by, the scripture says, by the Holy Spirit. If you learn anything, it's not because of me, definitely not because of me, it's because of the Holy Spirit opening the scriptures to you. You're taught by His Spirit, led by His Spirit, that you're grounded and washed by the water of the Word, that as you read the Bible, it washes you. It corrects your mind. It cleans out the dirt. It gets you thinking properly. And that's so important in our day and age. And again, these are the five spokes, right? Without five spokes, the wheel is going to be off. You ever had a wheel out of balance on the car or on your bike? Or at the worst, when you're at the shopping center and the cart on the wheel on the cart's all wobbly and you have to walk around the whole store like that. We need these five wheels to be healthy, the five spokes. Evangelism is the next one. This is being the hands and feet of Jesus. I think it's more than just speaking about Jesus, which it definitely is. Definitely need to tell people about Jesus. But it's also sharing him with the world by our service, by caring for them. Now, that's not necessarily the focus of Sunday's goal. Sunday's goal is that the believers would get together, would fellowship, would be taught, would be equipped, the gathering together of saints, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That Sunday's ministry primarily is to minister to the saints who then go out into the world. Now, don't get me wrong, on Sundays, evangelism should happen. I hope that in a lot of my messages, there is an evangelistic aspect. It is a calling of God to you through the word. But Sunday morning is not to reach the world. The world can come. The world should be reached through Sunday morning. But it's not a service of, let's just get the world in here and water down the word and tell them anything to get them in here. That's not it. We go out there. This is 1 hour a week. The other 600 or 167 hours a week. That's where the ministry to the world is. Now, granted, this can be used. Don't get me wrong. Don't like mince words. But sincerely, we need to build up the body to go out and survive the other 167 hours a week. And the fifth spoke is worship. Worship is really all the above. We worship God as we serve. We worship God as we pray. We worship God as we study. But also in heart. It's so important that why we do worship before the teaching, it's not because it's exciting, but it's because it's meant to repair our hearts, to draw us close to God, that we might be like good ground, opened up and ready to hear what he has to say to us. In fact, we're commanded to sing songs, hymns to each other in the Bible. That's what we do. Natural. My kids go around the house. We go around the house, just start singing a song. Someone else starts singing a song. Humming in the car. It's fantastic. And that should naturally come out of us at some point. But the church meeting is essential. It should be healthy. It should be wonderful. It should be joyous. You might not be joyous in another 35 minutes when the message is still going. But this is the start of the ministry. Sunday is not the end of it. It's not the end all be all. We all work towards Sunday. Granted, Sunday's important. Granted, we need to serve and do things together to give God an opportunity to bless the community through a Sunday service, right? But it's not the end of it. It's the start of it, that the church can grow out from there. And importantly, what starts in prayer personally, what you've been praying about, what you've been wondering about, God's going to do through you personally as well. But he might also use the church to supercharge that. He might use the church to build up your gifts, to build up your talents, to encourage you to live out the things that God is causing you to pray about. And the title of our message, which we're getting to here in a minute, just like a good movie, the title of the movie is in a line somewhere in the movie. But everything we do as a church needs to start, needs to end, and everything in between that be all with Jesus. That's the title of our message. That's the vision. All with Jesus. Whether we're doing White Elephant, whether we're writing notes, whether we're talking to each other, serving each other, saying goodbye, that we're doing it with Jesus. Not even for him, but with him. That if he's not with us and we're not with him, I don't want any part of it, guys. And you shouldn't either. If you're not with Jesus here, what's the point? Well, the coffee might be all right. We certainly like the peppers, apparently. But that's not why we're here. If the peppers aren't here, if the coffee isn't here, I hope Jesus is still here. And I hope you still come. We put out coffee, we put out peppers, we turn the heat on to make it comfortable. That would be even more physically enjoyable. But the point is, we're here for Jesus. You know, a tree without branches is just a stump, and branches without a tree, just like the pile in my backfield, is just firewood. It's just firewood. Like the Christmas tree. We cut it down. It was healthy. It survived for a little while on water, but now it's dry. And guess what? We're going to take it out and we're going to throw it in the field and maybe burn it in the spring. And that's us without Jesus. John 15, 5 through 8, he says to us, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That the church's function is the extension of the believer's life, and the believer's life is the life that's plugged into Jesus. That Sunday morning, wherever you fellowship, is meant to plug you into Jesus and make sure you're still plugged into Jesus and encourage you to stay plugged into him all week. Because without him, we wither up. He's the source of our life. Just like a baby in the womb with an umbilical cord. And the church itself cannot function as God intended. The lights may stay on. Service may still happen. But the things of God are not going to happen unless the life of the believers in the church is right with God. That's why it's so important that we're right with God on our own. And church, if you walked in here and you weren't right with God, it's a great opportunity to get right with him. And that's part of the function of the church. But the church is not going to work right if the believers aren't right. Not just the leadership, but those around the leadership, those in the body. We're all connected. And sadly, we know too often what it looks like these days when the people's lives aren't right with God. Because if the people were right, they wouldn't accept the leadership that wasn't right. If the people were right with God and they showed up and it was false teaching, they would say, I'm out of here. And the false teacher would have no audience. But sadly, the false teacher does. So for 2025 and beyond, let's let our church vision be all with Jesus. Whatever we do in word and deed, be with him. Now, hear me out. We don't need to bring someone to church. Granted, invite your friends, bring somebody, drag them off the street. I don't care. I'm praying that God would bear fruit and just let someone see a sign and just wander in here. I know he does those things. But instead of bringing them to church, we need to bring them to Jesus. Because if they know Jesus, they're going to want to come to church. They're not going to need a mug or a cup or a good speaker because none of those things are here. But they're going to say, oh no, Jesus is there. I visited there. I sensed God was there because of their love for one another. And it's a problem if we see the church as just an organization, just a business to do things on its own, separate from the life of the people in the church who are the church. Oh, my pastor will do that. Oh, I'm not going to share with you, but I'll tell my pastor to go share with you. Sometimes there's a need for that. There's a reason that you have a pastor. There's a reason that you have people who are raised up in those things. But granted, God puts you in their life for a reason. And it's, you know, you might say, I come to church to get ministered to. Okay, that's great. You should come here to get ministered to. But as you get ministered to, as you heal, as you grow, begin to minister to others. Talk to others, share with others, reach out to others. That church should be able to heal you and not in and of itself, but I think you know what I mean. That as you come and you grow and you get fed, you're going to go out and begin to minister to others. Come to teach, come to sing, come to have an outlet to serve. But it doesn't have to be your only outlet. Sunday is not the only time you can serve those around you. In fact, I told the kids this before. I heard a pastor say it years ago. He said it takes more Holy Spirit to do the dishes than it does to preach a sermon sometimes. Sometimes you just need God. I need you to do this, and then to do it with joy, right? I just fixed the dishwasher, so I did my part. But guess what, guys? We are all the church. We all get to be the church. It's not just coming to church. We be the church. And guess what, guys? It's as easy as showing up. We all showed up this morning, and guess what? We're having church. If you didn't show up this morning, that's okay. But I think we're missing out if we don't show up. We don't need a membership form. I still haven't been convinced scripturally anywhere for church membership. Although I get some of the concepts behind it and wanting people to commit. If you love Jesus and Jesus is here and you feel like God is leading you here, I don't need you to sign a piece of paper to stay here. In fact, if God calls you to go somewhere else, God bless you. Here's something to take with you on your journey. And of course, we'd be heartbroken, right? There's sometimes there's blessed subtraction. You're like, oh, thank you, Lord. That was a problem I couldn't handle anymore. But sincerely, we want people to be here. But if you don't want to be here, I'm not going to make you. I might check up on you and say, hey, is everything okay? Are you okay? Well, we feel like the Lord's doing this. Or no, you said something that really hurt me or offended me, and I need to make that right, right? But it's as easy as showing up. Because 1 Corinthians says God makes us members of one another. Right? It's nice that my wife and I have a piece of paper to prove the government we're married. But that piece of paper is not our covenant with each other. It's because we have Jesus and we love each other and we promised each other. Piece of paper just allows us to file our taxes. The second thing, or another thing, is just stick around. You showed up, now stick around. It's so sad when you visit a church or go somewhere and no one sticks around. They come in and they leave. Well, maybe it wasn't that good. Maybe it wasn't that warm. Maybe it wasn't that inviting. But stick around. Have some coffee. If the coffee's not good, say so. We'll make another pot. We'll get people to make a pot. But I think we're pretty good at that already. We stick around. We eat. We bring stuff. We take care of each other. I have to flick the lights a couple of times to get people to go home. And only because it's some number on a clock, right? And I only go make it a certain length, that way it's convenient and you do other things with your day. But I'm sure if we wanted to, we'd spend the whole day with each other. No one would need to force and put a sign on the wall at what time we needed to be there. That's healthy. But as you're here, as you're sticking around, talk to each other. Pray for each other. Talk about the Bible. Talk about the message. Talk about your week. Talk about whatever you need to talk about. If that's a sale you found at TJ Maxx, that's a great start. But go deeper too. Don't be afraid to open up, to step out, to share what you're hurting with. Now again, be wise about how you share, when you share, who you share with, right? If someone comes in and they happen to struggle with gossip, don't necessarily share everything with them. But this is the time for the body to get together and say, hey, you know what, I'm really hurt, or I'm really doing well, or how are you doing? It's the time for us to minister to each other. If this is it, if me getting up here and teaching is it, I mean, it's a good start, I guess, but that's not it. You're missing out on a lot if we're not talking to each other and praying for each other. I'd love to talk to each of you every week, but I can't, even with the small group. And we need to be a body together and care for each other and talk to people that we might not normally talk to. Step out. And listen to. Sometimes we just need to listen. Sometimes you don't need an answer. You just need to say, yeah, I hear you. I'll pray for you. Another one, be a Bible junkie. That's kind of an 80s term. You don't want to be a junkie, right? What do you want to be? Grow up and be a junkie, I think was the no drugs commercial. Didn't work, I guess. But we should be Bible junkies. We need to read the Bible, study the Bible. In fact, the Bible talks about people who are Bible junkies. They were called Bereans. They were from this area. In Acts 17, 10 through 12, it says this, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and not also a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." That when Paul and Silas got there and shared the word, that they were ready to receive it. You ever play catch with someone and they're not ready and it like hits them and bounces off, right? Or maybe that's you. You're all, you know, butterfingers. But they were ready to receive the word that was given to them. Be ready to receive the word that's given to you. And then go search the scriptures. Well, I don't know. The Bible does talk about this, about membership, Tim. Here's why. Or, oh, you know what? The Bible also says this. Be ready to take it back and study it. And not just here, but what we talk about on Sunday, but in your own life. God's going to minister you to the times you study. God's going to minister to the times you turn on the radio and there's a good teacher. God's going to minister you in all different ways. And he's beginning to speak to you and show you the way to go through all that. But search them daily. If you're hungry, you eat, right? This is our spiritual food. You know, I don't know. I don't like the pastor who said it. He's got some things that are off. But he said this. Someone said to him, "Don't you hate being fat?" And his response, I do like. He says, "I hate being hungry more." I thought it was funny. Pastor Chuck used to say, I watch what I eat. I don't watch how much I eat. But if you're hungry, you're going to eat. And if you're spiritually alive, well, then you're going to want to eat spiritual food. If you're not eating spiritual food, you need to go, oh, wait a minute, check my pulse. Is everything okay? Because when do we not eat? When we're sick. When something's wrong. When everything's good, we eat. And we eat sometimes until we get sick. So eat. Read your Bible. Get pizza stains on it, right? Get hummus, whatever you're eating. Get it all over your Bible because it means you're reading your Bible. We'll get you a new one when it's all covered and crusty. These books, like I said, if you want to donate something for it to cover the cost, that's great, to get one for someone else. If you're not, you can't afford it right now, take it. I said it before, I will buy more Bibles, more books all day long if you're reading them, if you're sharing them. I'm not a big reader either, but I know it's good stuff. I know some of you guys are, and I want to read more. I'm trying to read more. There's good devotionals over there. On the website, a lot like Jesus Style, it's free. There's links. Go to resurrectionmontana.org, click on resources. There's books, there's websites, there's all sorts of things. Messages I try and update from pastors and videos. Just to kind of give you a head start. So feed yourself. Guess what? You can overeat spiritually and it's okay. You're just going to want to eat more. And you're just going to want to go out and do more. The more you eat, the more you're going to want to do. So do it. Another one is get involved. Now that you've eaten, do something. When we sing, don't be shy to sing. I'll turn it up. If you sing loud and it's really bad, I'll just keep turning it louder. You know me, I got hearing damage. I'll turn it up as loud as I want. But I'll keep it down. I know not everyone can handle that. That's okay. It doesn't need to be loud. It just needs to be from the heart. And when we pray, don't be afraid to pray. Even if it's just thank you, Jesus, for this morning, and that's all you pray, don't be shy. No need to be afraid to pray around us, right? I know it's scary. I know what it's like to be a new believer and to pray for the first time in a crowd. It's like, oh, pouring sweat. Oh. What are they going to think? No one's going to think, oh, amen. That's what they're going to think. I'm feeling the same thing. Amen. Oh, what a great prayer. Oh, man, it encourages each other. And I know you won't believe it this morning, but I'm an introvert. Talking wears me out. I need my naps. There's very few in this world that I can talk to for hours on end and not get worn out. But I just need to turn off and nothing around, nothing on, just zone out for a while. It's just the way I am. But God has called me to do something that's not introverted. I remember being behind the sound booth years ago, and God says, get out from behind the sound booth. I'm like, all right. All right. You know, I didn't mind talking to people. It was a great place to hide and burn CDs, if you remember what those things were. But the church isn't me. I really hope you don't think it's me, because it ain't me. It's us. It's us. We're the church. I'm not here for you primarily. I'm sorry. I'm not here for you. I'm here because Jesus has me here. But because Jesus has me here, I'm here for you. If you want to talk, if you want to pray, if you need something, I want to be here for you. I'm your brother. You're my brother. You're my sister. And I would still do this if no one showed up. I've done it before. I've been in seasons where God had us in a place and I was teaching and there was no one there. And I just felt like, oh, this is what I'm doing. I just need to do it. But if no one shows up after a while and week after week, you guys begin to filter out, I wouldn't blame you. I'd say, all right, Lord, would you have me go somewhere else? Or what am I doing wrong? But sincerely, we're here for him. But if you're not here, it's kind of pointless for me to teach. And if I'm not here, it's kind of pointless for you to show up. Go somewhere where the Bible is being taught. But both of us being here is just as important as one or the other, right? So the next one is to get fed when you come to church. You should get fed at church. And I don't mean federal, like my brother-in-law Matthew, who works for the federal penitentiary system. But if you're going to be fed by God, you're going to be led by God. If your spirit is being fed in the meal, in the spiritual study, he's going to give you that energy, give you that feeding to help lead you in the direction to go in life. So I pray that when you come here, you get a good spiritual meal. I'm not the best cook. I'm not the only cook, but I'm trying to cook, so let me cook. And I pray God feeds you through it. Through the teaching, through the evangelism, through fellowship, through worship, through prayer. Keep coming. God's feeding you. Stay here. God's speaking to you. Stay here. And don't leave until he tells you to leave. So many people leave church and church hop because they were upset about something, because they were bothered by something, when they should have dealt with that. Go talk to the other person. Well, again, there you go. There was no talking. There was no fellowship. So when something happened, you left. Now, granted, if I did something absolutely nuts and awful, get out of here, leave quietly. Sure, leave quietly is a good thing. But there's been times when I've gone through a season, I'm like, maybe I should leave and do something else. And I pray and God's like, nope, this is where I have you. So if you're getting fed, guess what? Share that meal with others. Mario wanted to have one of my energy drinks. And I said no, and I need to repent of that. But I cover them too much. But they're always so into special food. They're always sharing. There's always something new to try in the house. And I don't know how to handle it, but it's good. I had some chips last night. They were good. It was before 10 o'clock, 3 minutes before. But we're here to eat. So if we're here to eat, next up, we need to move our feet. And if I was in the audience, I'd be cringing right now. I used to cringe when pastors would say things like that. And now they come out of my mouth, and I understand it because I like it. But Acts 1 through 8 says this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, Jesus says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. That God has called us to be witnesses to the world. So as you eat, move your feet and go witness to the world. And don't take it for granted that God has us in the capital of our state of Montana for a reason. We were at the Capitol the other day for an event. There's other things that go on the Capitol. Don't take it for granted that God has placed us and planted us here for a reason, prayerfully, to affect our state, to affect our country, to affect our community. Even if you weren't in the Capitol, God has you there for a reason. But there's something special about why God has us here in Helena. And I know there are other good churches here in Helena. I've visited them. I know people who pastor them. I know people who go to them right here. So why start another one, Tim? Well, God told me. God asked me to come here. God led me here. God led me to do this. because God said so. In summer of 2017, I was flying into Missoula, first time in Montana. I started smelling the forest fire smoke, and I was a little worried the plane was on fire. But as I'm doing that, I'm praying, and God reminds me of Romans 10, 14 and 15. He says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not heard? Have they not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And that's when God confirmed to me that I was coming to Montana, and I was coming to Montana to preach. And I'm not here to do it better. Of course, I want to do it well. And if the other churches aren't doing it well, I want to do it better because somebody's got to do it. But we're here to reach the people God wants to reach. I'm not here to take from other churches. I don't want people who are in a good church, who are being fed, who are growing, who are being ministered to in a way that fits their likes and dislikes, so to speak, within Scripture, to come here. If it's a whack church, then please come here. But if it's not, I don't want anyone to come. I've got friends in other churches. I never try and get them to come here unless they're looking. Because that's not what God calls us to do, not to infight. There's men of God that are here and women of God that are being used already. I'm just coming alongside because God wants me here too for some reason. We're not here to take sheep as a church. We're not here to build on anyone else's work as a church. We'll come alongside other churches, do stuff with other churches, but we're not to take over someone else's quote-unquote territory. And guess what? Does everyone in Helena go to church right now? Is everyone in Helena a believer? Then how many more churches could there be? I get the idea you don't want a church in every corner, right? But sincerely, would everyone really be fed if they all went to one church, even if that church was healthy? No, people would fall through the cracks. So let there be more churches in Helena. Let them each be packed out with 10 services a day, that more would be reached for Jesus. But those who have been burned, hurt, left behind, or backslid, I hope they come here. I've met many people in the last 6.5 years of being in Montana. I haven't gotten any to stick around yet. And that's okay. It takes time. Like an injured animal, it takes time, right? But it doesn't have to be here. My goal is not to get them in this building. My goal is to get them to Jesus. And if they like another building or another group better, so be it. It's hard. I remember when we were back in New York, we met in a school and people said, when you have a building, we'll come. We have a building. It just says Goshen High School on it, right? People have preconceived notions. I get that. Not everyone is as crazy as us to come meet here, right? And that's okay. But that's why God has us crazies here first, that the crazies can plant and then the less crazies can come later. We want those who haven't met the Lord yet. I feel like the God really ministered to me that there are people out there who are a part of his church, who are not a part of his church yet. People out there who will choose him, who have not yet chosen him. And part of our vision is to reach them, that they might become a part of his church. And hopefully they'll come here and be with us, but they don't have to, as long as they go to a good church. Because God is calling them, that we don't have church for the sake of numbers. We don't want people to come here that we could have 100 people. Who cares? God told David not to number the people. And how often are we like, well, how many people showed up at service, right? I mean, I guess it's good to figure out how much coffee you need to get, but just make too much coffee. God doesn't care. God would rather, like, Ashley listened to me today, but we listened to this message from Pastor Chuck, and they were buying this piece of property for their church years ago, and it was like 10 acres, and he was like, well, I'm going to sell off the other 5 acres. And the board's like, no, don't sell off the other 5 acres. He's like, we'll never need it. And lo and behold, God had bigger plans than that, and they needed it all and more. So don't think little. Think big. Don't be afraid to step out in faith and think that God is going to do big things, because he's going to go, of course, I'll do more than that too. You thought too little, even when you thought you were thinking big. So let that be our vision for this year. But that we also need to raise up all generations. I'm thankful that we're here in this elderly, quote unquote, community. It's great to be a part and meet people and be here and make it easy for those who might have a hard time getting somewhere else. Or whatever your situations are, you guys know you live here. But the church is for all generations. That a healthy church is going to have children, it's going to have families, it's going to have single people, it's going to have college age, it's going to have people, black, white, brown, yellow, whatever colors there are. Now, Montana is more homogenous than other places, but sincerely, church is not just for one group of people. That a healthy church is going to have all kinds of people in it. But the difference is that, or the lack of difference, I guess, maybe, is that these are people whom God loves. That the people we want to reach, our target demographic, are the people whom God loves. Whatever they look like, blue hair, pink hair, no hair, lots of hair, thick hair, thinning hair, may they come here to see Jesus. And when they come, may we love each other. When we come, may we love each other like family. We don't have to be best friends. We don't have to like each other, everything we do, but that we're genuinely interested in each other as family. Oh, good. We're going to make it. Be relieved. Oh, now that I said that, though, I'm probably going to slow my pace down, but let me get some more of this, and we'll stay on time. Here we go. Teach the word. But as a church, we need to be sound in doctrine. Not just what I teach and what I believe, but what we teach together as a group. More from getting fed before. You know, when I first visited the Bitterroot, I had met a pastor at a conference, and he said, when you come out, let me know. And he was kind enough to let me borrow the truck that they use for the youth group and drive around. And I asked him when we were in the driving around together getting lunch, I asked him, hey, what's the problematic doctrine here? You know, I knew what it was like on the East Coast and some of the doctrines that were out there that were problems and going around the church and causing problems and cults and whatnot. But I said, what's the problem? I mean, I saw the Kingdom Hall when we drove here. I know that that town is a polygamous town, so that's obviously a specific group of people that are to be reached. But he said the real problem doctrine is that there's no doctrine. That the word wasn't being preached. The word was being watered down. There weren't a lot of churches who really stuck to the scripture. And again, that's the problem. I don't have to be the best Bible teacher. I want to be a better Bible teacher. But all I need to do and all I want to do is teach the Bible. If doctrine's weak, it's going to be real easy to overcome weak doctrine, so to speak, with just teaching sound doctrine. Well, what does the Bible say? Why does it say it? What does it say in context? Go through verse by verse. And again, not that there's anything wrong with topical. This is the third topical in a row, and my son's going to have my head later if I don't finish Matthew. He was like, what is the title? And he was just messing with me. But sincerely, it's good to go verse by verse. It's good to teach the Bible. 2 Timothy 4:1-5 says this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound. You have to endure sound doctrine. You have to get through it. You have to let it cut you and deal with it. He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Ever get itching? You just have to scratch it. They will heap up for themselves teachers, people who claim to be teachers, people who have a pulpit, people who have a message cleared out that they say is from the Lord, and these people go to them. But these teachers will turn their ears away from the truth and turn them aside to fables. But you, us as a church, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. But Timothy wasn't an evangelist by gifting, but he had to do the work of it. I'm not either. Some of us might not be either. And if you are, God bless you. I want to encourage you in that. Go out and share the gospel with people on the street. But we all need to do that work. But we all need to endure sound doctrine. The only way that we'll remain healthy is if we stay in the word. We go through the word. We don't just want to teach what I want to teach on. I would just teach on pet doctrines. We talk about the Nephilim next week. Might be fun, but it's not necessarily what we need to focus on every week. But I know that there are people out there who are hungry for the word. There are people out there, whether they know it or not, they are hungering for the truth of God's word. And maybe they've even gone to a church where they haven't gotten it. Or it's been presented in a way that wasn't loving. You're going to hell. Well, that might be true. But there's grace. There's forgiveness that you might not go. And how do I know there's hungry people out there? Because I was one of those people searching for the truth. Because you probably were too. And there's others as well. And if there wasn't, honestly, God would have you and me somewhere else, plugged in somewhere else, doing something else. But the fact that we're here together, I think at least for this season, is evidence that God wants to do something through us as a church to reach Helena and make sure sound doctrine goes out, make sure the gospel goes out, make sure people know that God loves them and not you are loved like that billboard that was up for a while. But you were loved, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Matthew 18, 10 through 14, Jesus says this, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, the children. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God wants us to reach everyone, the children, that let the little children come to him. We don't have much room in here to do children's ministry, but I'm glad that they're in there screaming and yelling. I'm glad that they get to hear the word that my older kids are in here hearing. But I know that if God were to bring multiple families with lots of kids, we'd have more space. And I also know that if God brings us somewhere else, I want a space that has a place to minister to children. Not that I think that they shouldn't necessarily be in the service, but that there's a place that they can be ministered to in service and maybe in their own thing as well. And that's a topic for another day. But sincerely, that we would reach those who have gone astray. We would hold out the carrot, so to speak, or the veggie platter to get them to come back and say, come back to Jesus. Just come to church. It's not like, if you can get someone to come here, maybe it's because they've been burned somewhere else. Oh, look, we're in a community center. There's not a lot of us. It'll just be fun and low key. And maybe I'm sharing this a little prematurely, and maybe I don't totally understand it yet, but I share it that we might pray about it. But I was driving out on Lincoln Road into the North Valley a little while back, and I heard God's voice audibly. It's not like that to think wrongly. But I just sense that God wants us to reach the Helena Valley. Maybe that's the North Valley. Maybe it's because I was looking out the North Valley. God wants us to focus up there if we're going to focus anywhere. Maybe not. Maybe it's just the whole valley. But we're here right now. We're on the edge of the north side. God wants to do something here. God's going to plant us somewhere like we are here now, where this surrounding community can come and be ministered to. So just be in prayer that God would reach this valley. Like I said, there's lots of people here. There's thousands of people here. I know that not all of them go to church. Not all of them, more importantly, know Jesus. They might even go to church and not know Jesus. You know, I've seemed to meet that too. You know, I always thought of the South as the Bible Belt, but I noticed the West has that too. And the North had it in different, Northeast had it in different ways too, where there's this religion of, I just go to church on Sunday and then that's it. And I understand the things about Jesus, but my life hasn't really been transformed and made new yet. And that's our vision. That's why we're called Resurrection, is because the life that God gives us is not a better life. It's not a cleaned up life. It's a brand new life. When we came to him, he didn't just, you know, give us CPR and resuscitate us, as I've said before. He resurrected us. He made us brand new creations in Jesus. That the old things that passed away, behold, all things have become new. That the life that we want to share with Helena and those around us is Jesus. And that our lives are not the same. Our lives are brand new and different. Me? I was thinking about this morning, talking about God being kind to me. The fact that I'm up here doing this, without Jesus, I wouldn't be here. I'd be dead. I'd be on drugs. I'd be washed out somewhere. But God has me here. Even from being a believer, the things I've messed up with, yet God still, for some reason, has me where he has me. Grace, mercy, and he loves me. And if he loves me, he's got to love you. Your hair's thicker. I'm not going to let that one go, Mary. That was good. But in everything we do, you know, we had to fill out name tags, and the church legally is called Resurrection Montana, and I'm like, I've been thinking about, you know, did we change it to church or change it to fellowship or something? But I had to put that title down the other day, but that our life is really Resurrection Fellowship, that our fellowship together as a church, whether it's Sunday, whether it's women's thing, whether it's bumping into each other at Costco, that it would be a fellowship of new life, right? And that's where our fellowship comes from, because of the fact that we're all resurrected. We're all those zombies, right? Coming out of the grave with new life. I'm not saying brains, but saying Jesus. And in everything we do, let it all be with Jesus. All with Jesus. And verse as we close out. Colossians 3:12 through 17 says this, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. Remember those other churches? They're following the Lord. They are part of the body too. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let that be, in a sense, our call this year, to love each other, be humble, and to share Jesus. And everything we do, let it be all with him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you have a place for each of us at your table in heaven, if we but choose it, if we but receive it. So God, help us to receive it. Help us to invite others to that table, God, in heaven, through your son Jesus and his blood and his grace and mercy for them as well as us. We love you, God. Have your way. Let us be a part of your will this year. We ask, bless your church at large in Helena. And bring a real change here. Bring new life here. Fill your people with your spirit. Fill even the legislation as they meet this week. Those who are believers and those who aren't, to come under conviction and to rule righteously. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, beloved, may God bless you and keep you, and his face shine upon you.
There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind, and all we drink first light until the door.